International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The Big One, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, Jim?
Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland? Hey, pull up a chair, everybody. We've got excitement in the cafe today. We finally got some young blood in here. Good morning, Logan.
Good morning, Logan.
I'm going to go disable a few alarms real quick, so I'll be right back.
Hey, no problem. So, Jim, last night I checked into the Yacht Conference server on Echolink and joined the net. They have one every night at 7. And I heard Logan out there, and I made a recommendation that they come check out our Cafe Cast here on Telegram. And Logan is a big user of Telegram, and he's a sharp young ham. And I invited him to be a part of our team here to represent the youth. And he is one sharp cookie, I'll tell you what. You'll never guess his age.
Go ahead.
Well, wait, we'll let that surprise come later, but we're going to have you all ask Logan questions after he tells his story this morning of how he got into ham radio. And Logan, if you will, save your age for later. We'll make a little contest out of this and see who can guess your age after listening to you for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning,
oh, yeah.
Daniel.
Sure will. Good morning from South Africa.
Good morning.
So, Jim, I've got something exciting to show you. In fact, it was Logan in our conversation last night that kind of turned me back to DroidStar. I think I'm going to recommend you don't use Zoiper now and go to DroidStar. It's much easier. And, Logan, your reference to IAX on DroidStar kind of surprised me. That must be a recent update to it. I never really noticed it before. So I set it up to connect to my All-Star node. Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, it's got it where it's got the new IAX thing in there for your node, and I guess you could connect up to it and it lets you enter commands and this and that, you know. So DroidStar, it's really cool. The only thing I say is do not use DStar on it, because I had to pay the price for being banned on a bunch of reflectors, so DroidStar is the thing you don't use DStar with.
Yeah, well, you darn kids, you're always pushing the envelope, aren't you?
For sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. You really need to have hardware encoding and decoding of DStar. Otherwise, it sounds pretty bad. Now, if you have a DV switch server or something with a thumb DV drive, you could do it. That would work just fine, or maybe some other way of having that thumb DV part of some software. But without I just used my hotspot here for DStar. In fact, I've got my ID31 here set on my reflector, XLX334 Juliet. If anyone out there wants to connect with us in the cafe on DStar, that's where you want to go. And I know, Jim, you're kind of a DStar guy, aren't you?
I am. I've built a hotspot called PyStar, and the little antenna on my hotspot is a convenient place to store my Irish tin whistle, so that's where it rests. And the tin whistle is made out of plastic, so it doesn't interfere with the reception of signals from my ID51.
Ah, there you go. Hey, my buddy James just came in the house here. Good morning, James. Happy anniversary. You have to unmute your mic.
That's right. I forget. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Up a little bit early this morning, and I thought, well, I'd check to see what was going on here. I don't know who all was in here, but good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And have you got plans for your anniversary celebration today?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going over to the kids' house and having a get-together and a good meal here. Supposed to gather over there, I think, about 1 o'clock this afternoon. And I was kind of thinking about joining you there in the morning, but not going to happen. I had forgot that all of our family is coming here for breakfast in the morning.
Ooh.
And supposed to gather up here about 9 o'clock, I think it is. So anyway, got a lot going on here. So carry on. I'll just listen.
Hey, how many years is it you're celebrating?
52 years.
Wow. Congratulations. We'll be right behind you. Ours is tomorrow. Not quite that many years, but close. We're up to 47, so that's a pretty big deal. Jim, how long have you guys been married?
52.
Wow. Well, there you go, James. You got yourself a buddy here.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, it doesn't, 52 seems like an awful long, long time. But, boy, I'll tell you what, time flies by, seems like.
Yeah. Well, we've got someone here on the other end of the age spectrum. We've got Logan, who I was just saying, talked to last night on the yacht conference server on our yacht net. And I don't think I've ever talked to Logan before. I don't even know if I heard him before. I haven't been active on those nets because of all the internet issues we've had. It's just been totally frustrating. But now that we got good internet, we're going to get more active there too. So I snagged Logan and got him in over here. He's a Telegram user, and I asked him to come over and tell his story. So, Logan, let's turn it over to you. Don't tell your age yet, because we want to have folks guess that. I think they're going to be quite surprised. Tell us a little bit about your ham radio story.
Yeah, and so while y'all have been talking, I just went to my QRZ page and hid my age because I had it listed on there. So my age is hidden right now. All right, so do you want to go ahead and
go ahead
get started? All righty, so
yep, you've got the mic, so go ahead and tell us your story.
So this probably starts back in about 2015. I was about, oh well, I can't tell my age then. All right, so it goes back to 2015. I was my dad works in emergency management. There was severe weather one night, and he had to go in to sort of a weather operations room kind of thing. And he was, of course, he was operating stuff in there, having to deal with tornado sirens and various stuff. And there was like an Aries ham shack back there. I had no idea it was there. So there was a guy that had to operate it that specific night. And I watched him. He walked back to that little room and it got it opened up. So me being curious, I just followed him back there. And he did his little Aries net. And then, he eventually let me talk third party for a little while. And I thought it was really cool. I was very interested in he bought me a on his laptop, he shipped a ARRL little technician handbook to my house, and I got it about a week later, and I just kind of looked through it, and I was very interested at the time. I was a lot younger then, and I kind of got away from it for a little while, I'll say. Up until recently, back in early April times, and that's when I've really picked up the studying again. I just got introduced in a GMRS radio, of course. I'm not old enough myself to get a license for it because it's 18 and up, but yeah, let's see here. the license will cover for an entire family. So we had just bought like two little bit basic, what I thought basic walkie-talkies were, like $70 for two of them. And then it said GMRS license required. So basically I got into that by accident. So we just went ahead and spent the extra $70 on the GMRS license there. And we just used the radios and then got more in depth than that. And I bought a radio with the GMRS repeaters. And now I have a GMRS repeater that's actually on the air in Lebanon, Tennessee, of where I live. So I got into that. And then later on, coming May 1
Looking at your notes, huh?
He has to try and remember how old he is.
Yeah, I think that's making it difficult for him. He's trying not to give it away, but
I know.
You can just go ahead and... Don't let that choke you up there. Just we can tell.
Well, yeah.
I was looking at the date when
Jim, what was your question?
Well, I was going to say, why don't we ask him some questions and see if we can deduce it?
There you go. You want to start out? Like when you were born? When were you born?
No. Well, that's a good one. Like who's buried in Grant's tomb? Yeah, that's a good one. Logan, do you have a favorite car that you drive?
Oh.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Oh, you're being coy there.
Do you drive a car at all?
No, but I'm in flight training, so I fly.
Okay. I have lots of pilot friends. In fact, I did a website for the Indy Soaring Club. Anyway, that would put you... I'm going to just take a stab here after asking only one question. I'm going to say 15.
That was a...
Okay.
Silence is golden.
What, Denny, what's your guess? Or you probably already know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know everything.
But I'm not surprised because the quality of the hams we have in our youth net... age is very deceiving because these guys are professional communicators. They're very good. Anyway, Logan, go ahead and continue on with your story. Now, you got into GMRS, but ham radio was in your future.
Oh, yeah. So back in around April, that's when we got the GMRS license. And so that was a lot of fun to mess around with, of course. And then I had been studying for ham. And, you know, of course, I was waiting for COVID to sort of get done with. And this sounds really weird to me because there was a social media platform where there was a ham on there. And I had kind of put mention and like their kind of little group thing that I was going to go get my license after quarantine, which if I had waited after quarantine, I wouldn't be licensed right now. So anyway, the guy, y'all probably know Josh Nass by chance, KI6NAZ. He recommended the ham study, like a remote testing. So I got scheduled and I was scheduled for the next week. So I took it and passed it on May the 31st and woke up on June the 1st with the license call sign KO4DVT Delta Victor Tango, and immediately applied for a vanity call sign. And on the 19th, I came around with N4 LLC, which is what I am now.
He's a limited liability corporation.
That's right.
So any of you guys want to ask him a question? Feel free.
So what
that's a short what, time that's a short what, time for being a ham.
What rigs do you have? What radios do you have now?
Yeah, I'd like to eventually get an HF radio. I gotta go get my general here soon. I took it recently a few months back and I missed it by two questions. And so an HF rig, I would either look at an ICOM MyC7300 or a Yaesu FT991. Those are my HF radios in sight.
So you must be my long lost cousin. It removed five times or something. No, I'm looking at the 7300 myself.
Oh yeah, I've actually got to use the 7300 on 10 meters, and it's a great radio. That thing sounds good. So I use my very little privileges on HF whenever I can, and so we have a 10 meter local 10 meter sideband net on 28.415. So I was in the
James has got a 7300. What do you think of that, James? You recommend that rig?
Oh yeah, you bet. I really enjoy mine. Works.
What do you like about it?
Works fine. Well, I like the touch screen, and I like the menus. The way you get to them, it's just pretty simple to use, and it's got a great receiver. Works really well. I enjoy it. I think you guys got it on your mind. It'd be a good purchase if you're going to get an HF rig, but it really works good. I check into the Razorback net here with it and listen on the awful, awful, ugly net on 3855 and stuff, but it's really a pretty good old radio. I really enjoy it. I'm going to have to get out of here, guys, for a little bit. So anyway, say hello to, I think it's Jim and Logan. And I don't know, but I'd bet Logan's 13. I'll catch you later. I'll be out. Y'all.
Bing, 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 bing. He wins.
Ding, ding.
Go get a free cup of coffee for for the reward there. Say hi to Linda. Have a good morning. Happy anniversary. Yes, he's 13 years old, and he's not just a tech with a Baofeng. Tell us what else you got.
All righty. So here goes my list. I've got a lot of HTs, various stuff, old and new. And I'm a repeater guy, so I have a lot of repeaters. So some of my handhelds, I've got a Anytone 878 Plus for DMR analog and various types of paging, two-tone, five-tone, this and that. So, and I do APRS with it. And I'm looking to make a contact with the space station APRS digipeter. I heard the digipeter last night, went outside on the handheld, and I tried the repeater. They weren't close enough for me on a handheld, but I did hear their APRS beacons. So I love APRS. And then I've got a Yaesu FT1D for a Fusion. So that's a really cool radio. I like it. I'm actually the second owner of it. The original owner, he upgraded to the 3D and kind of didn't want the 1D anymore. So he said, have at it, because he let the batteries run down once a month. And then he basically put it back on a shelf, and that's all that was used of it. And then I do actually have a Baofeng UV5R. I generally do not use it for talking. The only reason I use it is for my Echolink node, which I basically took a bunch of audio cables, hooked up to a laptop, and go grab another radio and talk into the other radio. And basically you got a working functional node with crappy audio, but it does work. But yeah,
that's just the beginning of the list.
Oh yeah. And then moving on, my dad has a XTS 5000 Motorola that I use primarily for P25 and all that stuff. And let's see here. For GMRS, we've got two Midland GXT 1000s, which are like upper end basic Walmart handy talkie thingies. And then I've got a BTEC GMRS V1 for GMRS. And then my repeaters, I've got a Motorola GR1225 radius repeater. And it's currently operating on 462.55 megahertz on the GMRS side. And I've got a Motorola MTR3000 repeater, which will soon be up on VHF. It'll be a DMR and analog standalone repeater. And I may eventually link it to like the TGIF network or something like that, because we need some of those around our area. So, and then I've got a, for my tower setup, which will go up here soon, I've got a an Anytone 778 analog radio with a, I'm pretty sure it's an MFJ ground plane antenna, which it's a very nice antenna. I love that thing. And I've got a 30-foot tower that's going to go up with it. I've got a local club that just lost their tower space for their tower. So basically they're going to let's see here. So they found a note on their repeater one day where they had it, and they said, "We're doing construction here. If you don't move this, we're basically going to throw it away." And it was a Yaesu DR1X repeater, which is like over $1,000. And it's a fusion and analog repeater, and that's how they had it. And then they came in on it one day. The coaxial had been cut on it, and there was a note on there saying that they were going to throw it away in a few days. So they basically pulled it out. Nice. It's been offline for years. So I said, come join the party. So they're going to come put their antenna on my tower, and I'm going to have a repeater rack with three or four repeaters in my garage.
Wow.
Wow. Jim, he's left you in the dust.
I know. That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
So this Droid Star.
Well,
this Droid Star you're recommending.
Go ahead.
That's for only Android.
Yeah. Android. I'll let Logan tell you about it. He's the expert.
Android, and I believe they're in the process of making an Apple app for it too. So Apple should have Droid Star relatively quickly. And the computer app is called Dude Star, like, hey, dude. So it's Dude Star. Just make sure you type ham radio after it, or you won't get the search results that you want.
Okay.
There you go, dude professor.
Yeah, you must type ham radio
like after it. For you.
All right.
I'm typing it in right now. That's Part Dude Star, thing. One word, right?
Dude dash star. Try that.
Okay.
And there's so how this long new,
you've probably been listening long before you got your license, maybe.
Oh yeah, I've always been a big lurker on the receiver, is what I call it. They never if they talk about me, they know that I'm there. So like they could never talk behind my back because they know that I'm listening to them. So they'd be like, they mention me, and then they're like, "All right, go ahead, Logan." They're like, and then the next one I'll save my call, and they'll be like, "You can never escape them." But I'm gonna pull up my Dude Star app here, and there's a bunch of really cool things on there. There's this new mode called an M17. It's a very clear digital mode, and there's a different like reflectors you can use and this and that. So I use the M17 USA reflector, and then you use the module number A or letter A, and then you put in a lot of settings in your thing, or the settings, like your D-Star information. I wouldn't use D-Star, though, because I got banned from a few D-Star stuff because I used Droid Star on it because of,
just
software-driven stuff. So, but, yeah, I really enjoy these apps beside the side of being banned from D-Star stuff. So if anybody's on M17, I've got my I've got this running in the M17 USA reflector right now, and I'm just now kind of getting into a few other apps. I've been involved in Echolink. I use AllStar on the phone portal.
Now, service. Jim, are you hearing dropouts or is it just me?
I haven't noticed them.
I'm having some dropouts. Is that on my end, Jim? Are you hearing the dropouts?
Repeat the question.
I'm having issues here this morning.
Well, you usually do. You mean you're having communication
issues? Well, I know the recording is going to be good because it's going on Telegram, but I'm having a lot of dropouts on my end. It might be maybe my network.
I haven't noticed any dropouts.
Yes, it's dropping out. I'm hearing a lot of dropouts on everybody. So maybe it's Telegram or maybe it's me. Good. I'm going to back out and come right back in here and see if that helps. Stand by. And Jim, go ahead and take over here. Ask some questions and continue on.
Well, I have, Logan, I'm trying to get back into HF after many decades of being inactive. So I bought an ICOM 52 about 5 years ago or so, and then I tried to read the ICOM manual that came with it and completely gave up, you know, and just put it on the back burner. And finally, one time I was going to just absolutely figure out how that radio worked on D-Star, and just at that time, that very month, the D-Star repeater in the Indianapolis area where I live ceased operation. And that particular issue of QST that came that month had plans on how to build a hotspot. So I did that. And I'm into 3D printing as well. So I printed a 3D printed case for it. And finally figured out D-Star. So that was a major accomplishment for me, which apparently would be a very, very minor inconvenience for you.
Yeah, one thing in our area, actually, you're going to be surprised by this because I didn't know Nashville and Indianapolis were so alike. So I don't have any D-Star radios. I may eventually. I was really in love with that specific Kenwood one. I can't think of what it is that had CW and sideband on it. And unfortunately, I guess that one went out of service or whatever, or operation. And I know ICOM's getting ready to come out with a newer one. But yeah, I may eventually get a D-Star radio. I'll see about it because I can do it with my hotspot. But about a year or two ago, the Nashville D-Star repeater ceased operation. So that and basically they haven't found any other tower for it, and it's basically, I think, sits in a box now in a room. And that's all that's really been done with that specific repeater. And I don't think that it'll ever go back on the air because there was a bunch of people that would hang out over there and they chit-chat on D-Star, and now they use a D-Star simplex around here. Like, I think it's like 146.505 for chit-chatting on D-Star now around our area.
Well, this.
You're in Lebanon. Lebanon is the headquarters of WTWW. Do you listen to that?
Oh yeah, WTWW. I'm a big listener on there. I try to listen on Saturday nights off of my Yaesu FT1D, and I can usually hear them. Some nights I can't on a 5085.
I think you should be a DJ over there.
I always do. I do a lot of those voices and stuff, like for a lot of the stations around here. Whenever they ID at the same time with their call sign, and say it almost better than they do.
You got a good radio voice for a 13-year-old.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome. Any more questions for him?
Not at the moment.
I should think that if you have any questions, you could contact him. He'll have the answers.
Yes, I'm thinking that Logan should be my new technical advisor because...
Denny,
you've got too much other stuff going on. You're always going to Walmart or other places.
I'm surprised I didn't hear from you yesterday.
Well, everything's... Logan, what's happening in my life is my first task is to get an antenna up. I'm going to get the antenna up before I order the rig, and I take my extra exam a week from today, and I hope to have at least the antenna up on my chimney end by that time. The other end goes out to a tree, and I've got to wait for a neighbor to trim some mulberry trees that he wants to get rid of and are in the way of my antenna wire that I'm going to put up. And today, my lightning arrestor and coax connectors and all that's coming. So I'm just getting my antenna ready. And then probably in a couple of weeks, I'll order that 7300.
Yeah, that 7300 is a great radio. And I like the 991 too. I know a bunch of people that have that specific radio. But I wish you luck on your extra, and hopefully I'll see you again. And your name on here will have the parentheses E.
Yeah. By the way, Logan, why don't you guess Jim's age?
Let's see.
Oh, you're cheating. You're looking at his what QRZ page.
Nope. I'm right here. How long did you say you've been married for?
52 years.
He's been a ham almost that long, too, I think, haven't you, Jim?
Oh, I've been a ham longer than that.
Oh, my.
Hang on. Let me consult here. Alexa.
He's getting out pencil and paper and writing numbers down.
Well, just do it like this. Alexa, how old is Jim Brown?
Oh, my. Alexa might know.
He was born on February 17th, 1936.
Must
be. By the way, I have a routine you might like. I can tell you the weather when you dismiss your alarm. Do you want to try it?
No. She said you're 85 years old. It must be a different Jim Brown.
It must be.
Jim, are you 69?
At least.
Are you 71?
At least.
73?
At least.
75?
At least.
77?
Not quite.
76.
A week from tomorrow, I'll be 76.
I will be 14 this Thursday.
Ah, so we're both advancing in age.
I love the diversity in our cafe cast here. And I think Logan's going to be a regular participant here representing the youth of amateur radio.
I certainly hope so.
I'll definitely drop by in the mornings whenever I have time.
Yeah, you're off to school by what you say, 7:30?
Oh yeah. I generally leave anywhere from 7, and if I'm late, 7:30.
Well, that'll give you the first 15 minutes to participate and answer one of Jim's what if questions. By the way, Jim, before we run out of time, what is your what if question today?
Well, first I have to do a slight backstory, because the backstory is almost as interesting as the what if question. I was reading the Indianapolis Star this morning. There was a fascinating article about a young computer hacker who awoke one morning to be staring at the end of FBI weapons drawn, pointing at his head. And it turns out he was associated with a group called the Xbox Hackers, which apparently hacked Microsoft and other places and stole some technical secrets. And eventually, this was in, he was, I think he was a senior in high school at that point in time. But he had a real awakening at that point in his life and kind of turned around. And now he's a tech officer in a social media company, trying to prevent people like him from taking over the social media company. And he was giving talks on what led him into this path that he now disdains, and talks about his parents kept trying to get him to come out of the house and go get outside and go do stuff, but he was holed up in his room, becoming one of the best hackers in the world. At any rate, the article concluded with the night before the FBI agents barged into his bedroom, his parents were talking to him about getting out more and getting involved with other things. And they had been to a church service that night, and the central message of that particular sermon was living in the moment. Living in the moment. And so that is the what if question. What if we all learn to live in the moment? How would that affect your life or your outlook on life or how you would live your life?
Good question. What do you think, Logan?
That's interesting. I'm trying to think of how to put this.
Daniel, we haven't heard from you for a bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, since COVID-19 began, it's been something I've been pondering a lot about, living for the moment, because you don't know the next moment whether you're going to be around, Danny.
Yeah. There's been a lot of fear of that. I'm thinking typically we are so living in the future, we miss the opportunities of the moment. You know, we've got our plans.
Or in the past, by chance.
Yeah, very good point, Logan. Very good.
Very good.
That's pretty typical of people our age. We kind of live in the past, I think. But I live in the future a lot, too. I have a lot of plans, a lot of dreams. I'm thinking about, you know, well, see, we got to be here at this time on this day. And sometimes we get so busy thinking about what's ahead that we miss the opportunity of right now.
Well, I tell you, events are going to happen to us whether we like them or not. My wife is a cancer survivor.
Me too.
And that is that really brings home living in the moment, making the best of every day. You know, what can I do today that will make me happy, make others happy? How can I impact others' lives today? And because you don't know what may happen tomorrow, something untoward may happen that completely disrupts life or even takes it away.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can tell the ones that are living in the moment because they seem to get things done. Now look at Logan. He's 13 years old. Look what he's accomplished already. Logan, you seem like a kind of guy that really takes advantage of every moment and makes the most of it, because you're accomplishing an awful lot for a 13-year-old.
especially during, you know, the quarantine times, instead of looking what's going to happen after this, I just kind of, I went and picked up my ham radio license and got to talking and jibber-jabbering.
Well, it doesn't sound like jibber-jabbering to me. You really are an excellent communicator.
I haven't heard that term jibber-jabber for quite a while.
Or Roger Dodger.
Roger Dodger.
We've got to get you over on our Orion platform, Logan. We use IFTTT for voice interaction, kind of like our girlfriend over here. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a really cool platform. It shows us your location using APRS technology, so we can see each other on the map, and we'll be greeted by our Debbie the Digibot. If you say hello or say check in, she'll acknowledge your check in, acknowledge your name.
She's the third cousin. She's the third cousin of Alexia.
Yeah. No, she's the, what did I say? She's the alter ego of my feminine side.
Wait, is
but it's on Orion. PTT? Orion PTT? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and download that. And the invite link is, I think, on all of my stuff. I think it is, anyway. And if not, we can send you an invitation link to that. Jim, I'm keeping Jim so busy with other platforms, he just kind of left that one. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be anymore.
Well, I get a tone in my ear from Denny, and I don't know whether it's on Orion or Telegram or some other technology he had me download. I haven't been able to even read about yet. I'm sometimes confused trying to answer his call. And then, of course, he mutes me. He mutes me.
You talk too much.
By the way, have you...
Just kidding.
Denny, did you hear about that blind man that picked up a hammer and saw?
I think I have. If you like puzzles, here's one for you. You're stuck in a room with no windows or doors. All you have is a mirror. How do you get out?
You're stuck in a room with no windows or doors. And there's just a mirror.
Can I answer this?
So I assume that this is not a Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Logan's got it figured out. Go ahead.
You either walk through the mirror or you look behind the mirror.
I was going to say...
Nope, you're wrong.
Climb
you
up
look
the
in
wall.
The mirror.
No, wait. Let me guess.
You see the other side.
You didn't see... You didn't say there was a roof on this room. So it'd be fairly simple to just stand on a chair and grab the top edge of the wall.
You're totally enclosed.
Totally enclosed. Okay, so there's no door or windows.
You look in the mirror.
Is there a floor?
You look in the mirror to see what you saw.
Look in the mirror.
Yep.
And what did you conclude that sentence with?
Yes. We are having some latency issues here this morning, I can tell. You look in the mirror to see what you saw. You take the saw. You saw the mirror in two. Two halves make a hole, and you climb out the hole.
Oh. That's tortured reasoning.
Or you could do this. You run around in a circle until you're all pooped out. What are we going to title this episode?
Pooping in a circle.
Here we are, living in the moment and enjoying every bit of it. I've noticed... some of our listenership has fallen off in the last couple of days. I hope it's not because of the titles. I might have to change it up. I think I'm going to title this one Droid Star. That will get some attention because I hear a lot of people talking about it. There seems to be a lot of interest. When I first heard about it and downloaded the app, I dabbled with it and I thought, nah, this isn't going to cut it. But this guy is good. He's updating it and it just gets better and better.
And then whenever you realize that you do not have a radio with you and you're like, oh, I want to get on DMR from a favorite net. And then you go pull up the Droid Star.
Well, I'm looking at the GitHub now.
It's kind of like the photography saying.
What's
the best camera?
The one you have with you. And I'm trying to.
What's the best radio? The one you have with you.
The one you have yet to. The one you have yet to buy.
Rolling is always on.
Yeah, there you go. Always, always. Hey, live in the moment. Live in the moment.
I'm on the GitHub.
Enjoy what you've got.
I'm on the GitHub for Dude Star, and I'm having trouble finding what to download. There's all this stuff to compile.
Where's the exe file?
Well, I'm on a Mac, so I need either a zip or a DM, or maybe it doesn't run on a Mac.
Hang on. Yes.
Well, no, it obviously does because there's compile files for Mac OS.
Yeah, I bet that's it then. Hang on, let me pull up that GitHub.
If you find a simple link to click on to download it, drop it in the chat channel.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to put this link in here. So we have the tools. Let's use them. So here's the link to DudeStar. For those who are interested, Dudetronics. It just sounds like something you'd be president of there, Jim. Dudetronics.
Well, you guys, remember one day we were on this conversation, everybody's either first name or last name began with the letter D as in Delta. And I was the odd person out, so you guys gave me the name Dude.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Daniel from South Africa says, welcome, Logan.
I like it when people use their real names to... in the chat channel, yeah. We have a new guy that joined our group just over the weekend. How's this for a name? Snakes Snyman. Did you see that up above?
Wow.
I don't think that's his real name.
Yeah, that's his name. Little Prof Sierra. His name is Snakes. I only noticed that he's joined. I think I sent him an invite.
Oh, so you're bringing in the snakes, huh?
Oh boy, that reminds me of another story.
I thought it was as a result of my posting that. Oh, here we go, another story. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, this goes back when I was only slightly older than Logan. It was probably, I was 15 at the time, and I was on staff at Camp Llewellyn in Southeast Missouri, which is a Boy Scout camp. And my official title, my job title, was sanitary engineer, which meant, in layman's terms, I was the dishwasher. And I was putting milk out on the tables. The boys were in the dining lodge, standing, waiting for grace to be said. And some movement caught my eye under the table because I had this case of milk cartons kind of resting on the edge of the table. And I looked under the table and there was a rattlesnake under the table where boys were standing waiting for grace to be said so they could sit down and eat. And I said, boys, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Remain standing. Don't move your feet. Don't move anything. Just keep cool. I'll be right back. And I went back to the kitchen, got a broom. And using the broom, I swept the rattlesnake out into the aisle and on out the back door. And then I proceeded to take my knife and cut off its head. And then I went to finish my chores. And on that camp in Missouri, we had copperheads, multiple varieties of rattlesnakes. And our waterfront activities were in the St. Francis River, where we had water moccasins. So we had three of the four poisonous snakes in the United States, all on that Boy Scout camp in abundance. So I'd seen some of the older staff members had made bracelets, snakeskin bracelets. And in fact, the PX sold little steel blanks that you could use to make a bracelet out of anything you wanted to and wrap around your wrist. And I decided that rattlesnake would be my first snakeskin bracelet. So I finished my chores, finished my dishwashing, and I got ready to deal with that snake. And I remember this vividly, like it was yesterday, Logan, yesterday. I had that snake in my left hand because I'm right-handed. And the body was sort of going out from my hand. And I took my knife and started to snip up the belly to separate the skin. And that snake wrapped around my left arm and constricted. And at 15 years old, I thought I was going to have a heart attack and die right there. And that we had a spring-fed creek that ran through the camp, and I took that snake after I calmed down a little bit and put it in the cold water to kind of cool it off, and eventually got the skin separated and tacked it to a board and threw some salt on it. And indeed, eventually, I did have a snakeskin bracelet, but that almost made me have a heart attack.
Logan, are you a scout?
No, I am not.
It's not too late. It's not too late. He says as a lifelong scouter.
Yeah. No, he's if he was a scout, I bet you he'd be an explorer by now.
At age 14 he could join venturing, which is co-ed, by the way. And does things like whitewater rafting and, you know, hiking and high adventure stuff. He might enjoy that.
Are you kind of an outdoors person there, Logan?
Oh, yeah. I spend a lot of time outside myself, you know. I'm usually not cooped up. Generally, when I'm talking to someone, I'm usually very busy. So I'm sort of good at multitasking in a way. But
What are your favorite activities outside of radio?
You know, I like biking. I'm a big runner. I run cross country during the fall. I do a lot of biking. So,
have you got a girlfriend?
No.
Well, you know, if you listen to some guys, they talk about how, you know, young people are interested in ham radio until they start catching fumes, perfume and car fumes. And all of a sudden, they're off. Girls and cars.
Yep. Well, yep. And sports, you know.
Yeah.
I like to bicycle too. In fact, last year, my total mileage was 4,131 on a bicycle.
Wow. Biking's a lot of fun. And I do karate as well. I've done it for about 6 years now, and I have my first degree black.
Wow. So I'm currently studying Jodo, J-O-D-O. Have you heard of that?
I have not. I do Ishinryu karate, I-S-S-R-Y-U
I'm familiar. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I think it's ISSHRYU. But it's an Okinawan style. It's made up of Gojinru and Shoenru. And so that's what I take.
Is that what I'm trying to remember the name, Matsutatsu Oyama?
Tatsuo Shimabuku?
No, I can't. I don't know that name. Back when I was in grad school, I was reading about Matsutatsu Oyama, who could actually kill a bull with a punch.
Wow.
He was from Okinawa. That's why I thought that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
I have studied jiu-jitsu, aikido, and some forms of karate over the years.
Yeah.
But Jodo is the art of the short stick, and there's lots. It's always done in pairs. One person has the stick, and the other person has a boken.
So you have like a bow almost. Stick.
Yeah, it's a boken, a wooden sword, and a short stick, not a long stick. The long stick would be the bow, but this is the jo. Yep, and there's plenty of YouTube videos if you want to. It's looks kind of weird. It's just kata, you know, right? And there's a variety of kata as you progress through the ranks. And it's always done in pairs. And in performing the kata, sort of in the middle, the people exchange weapons and finish the kata. So both persons have the jo and both persons have the boken.
That's interesting. We have a good deal of katas. I just finished my 8th kata not long ago. So we have 8 empty hand katas, which are Seisan, Seiuchin, Naihanshin, Wansu, Shinto, Kusanku, Suensu, and Sanshin. So I just finished Sanshin, which is a very short one. But Sanshin was interesting because it's basically a combination of all of some of the, they call it a Master Shimabuku's kata, because he picked all of his favorite stuff out of all of the different katas that he made, and he put it all into one. So that's the one I just finished, and I know one of 3 of the bow katas, which are, dang it, I just lost it, Tokamini, which I know. Shishi is the next one, which I'm kind of just now starting, and then there's Yurashi, and then there's a whole bunch of Sai katas, which I haven't learned any yet. Eventually I will.
Yeah, the Sai is really an interesting weapon. And for a while, I studied the Manruki Gusari, which is a 2-foot chain with weights at the end. That was kind of fun. Except there's a lot of, naturally, there's a lot of swinging, you know. And I had to make myself...
Sounds deadly.
Yeah, it is. I had to make myself a practice Manruki Gusari out of some cork balls and a rope, because one of the movements is to swing this chain out in front of you, and you have to reverse the swing at just the right moment, or you'll slap yourself in the kidney with one of the weights. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun thing to practice for a while.
Yeah.
Logan, I think you found your new home.
So how tall are you, Logan? How tall are you?
I'm about between 5'3" and 5'4".
So I'm going to say you weigh 135 pounds.
Maybe a little more than that.
145.
Yeah, maybe between 140 and 150, something like that.
Yeah, okay, 145. And
just wait till he gets 50.
I deduce that because he said he ran cross country, so he's certainly lean.
Not an ounce of fat on his body.
Not like me.
or me. By the way, if you want to know what I do for a living, I'm a mechanic. I put rear ends in recliners.
No, wait a minute.
I got that from James. James started me on that one a long time ago. By the way, I want to acknowledge Bob Havenstreit showed up here.
Good morning, Bob.
And I think he heard your question, so we might want to throw that at him. Bob, what is it like, or rephrase it there for me. I can't put it in the same words you did there, Jim.
What if we all learn to live in the moment?
What if we all lived? By the way, good morning. Yeah, I got in here a little late, but hope you all are getting your day started off on the right foot and everything. But okay, what if we all live for the moment? Is that the question?
Yeah, lived in the moment, rather than, you know,
lived in the moment. Okay,
lived in the moment.
Lived in the moment, and okay.
That actually came from a sermon.
Okay. What if we all lived in the moment? Boy. Oh, man.
Bob, I bet you can think of a scripture that would fit that idea. What does the Bible say?
I'm starting my first cup of coffee here, but let's see.
he's living in the moment.
Yeah, I'm living in the moment here.
In other words, we never know what comes tomorrow, right? So
okay,
what do we do today?
Take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, is a scripture. But so take no thought for tomorrow. Well, we just take today because we don't really even know if there will be a tomorrow. I think we try to think on the good things. You know, the Bible talks about whatever so things are good and pure and honest. Think on these things. I think we'll keep trying to point ourselves in a positive direction, trying to make a difference for the good. You know, there's so much negative and bad things going on that we can just be one person or one whatever, you know, one individual that's pushing toward doing something good, constructive, maybe helpful for not only me, but the neighborhood and, you know, the community and every, you know, goes on to the whole nation. I don't know. Am I making any sense? I think just try to do something good. If we live in for the moment, keep trying to point ourselves in the right direction, in a good direction.
I think that's a great reflection.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, living for the moment. Well, every second is a moment of our life that's passed, you know, and we'll never get it back again. So I think just trying to do something good or constructive in a positive direction, not only for me, but for the neighborhood, the community, and eventually, you know, our nation and the world, I guess, you know.
It seems like we need a balance. So I think of the old story about all the ants running around and not saving up food or whatever. How do we keep that balance of not worrying about tomorrow and yet being prepared? I don't know, James, you have been kind of quiet, but you're still here listening. Any words of wisdom from you on that topic? I think he's busy eating breakfast. But yeah, how do you deal with that, Jim? I mean, how do you not be ignorant of the future and unprepared while at the same time really embracing the now and enjoying it to the fullest and making the biggest difference?
Well, as an educator, I would say you always have to explore issues and all the variables that surround your life and try to control them. I mean, if you think of life as an endless stream of variables, some of which you can control and some of which you can't control, what we try to do, and this is in every science experiment, in every social science experiment, we try to control the variables we can control, and then we don't worry about the ones we can't control. And that's just a lifelong process of learning and thinking and thinking about alternatives and how to live your life. So I don't find that incongruous at all.
Right. Well, we all want to be happy. That's kind of the thing that drives most of us in what we do, where we spend our time, who we hang out with. And sometimes worrying about the future steals the joy of today.
Exactly.
So, but it's still important to be prepared. And as ham radio operators, you know, and as a scout, you know, be prepared. I think Logan is probably one of those that wants to be prepared. I know being his original experience was with Ares and emergency communications and things, storm watching, Skywarn, whatever. I think he is thinking ahead of how can I use my passion here, amateur radio, to help prepare for the future. Isn't that right, Logan?
Oh, yeah, and my teacher always said that I'm the one prepared for the zombie apocalypse, you know. I'm always ready for I'm ready for anything. And kind of want to go along with the question there. I think if we live in the moment, then we'll be less worried about what the future is going to be like.
Good observation. And I think, did I hear, Logan, did I hear you say you were a pilot?
I have 13 hours in my logbook and look to solo when I'm either 15 or 16.
So that's another thing that people do, that when you are flying, you're living in the moment, enjoying all that one can possibly enjoy, soaring 3,000 or 4,000 feet above the earth and looking down on the earth, but you're also aware and you're trying to control every possible variable in terms of the way that airplane operates, and the mechanics of it and so forth. And you're prepared. You have a checklist that you go down to make sure you're going to take off and land and fly safely, but you're also enjoying the moment while you're up flying.
Oh yeah. And if you're not in the moment while you're up there, you're gonna crash.
That's right.
Hey, that is an excellent comparison. If we don't enjoy the moment and be aware of the moment, we're gonna crash in life.
When I was in college, I was a member of a sport parachuting team, and I've been up in airplanes a lot more than I've landed in airplanes. But that's another activity that's, you know, it's incredibly enjoyable. It's living on the edge, kind of. But you have to consider alternatives. You have to be ultra safety conscious.
Yeah. Well, Jim, what do you think? Should we bring Logan on board as our youth co-host?
I think so.
What do you think, Logan? Are you interested? You want to be an official youth co-host here on the Cafe Cast?
I would. And, I really like this group.
And you have an influence. You know a lot of other young people, and we'll leave it to you to start bringing some young folks in here. And they don't have to have a ham radio license. I mean, this is open to everybody. Yeah. It's not over radio. So we can use this as a platform to introduce young people to the hobby and help them out.
Yeah, Mitch, so where do these podcasts go whenever they're sort of
ready? They're on iTunes, Google. If you go to the website that I'm doing this on, anchor.fm, go to my podcast, anchor.fm/DigicomCafe, and I post them right here in our Telegram channel too. So any of those links above, you can go to it and you'll see a string of icons representing the different podcast platforms, but it's heard worldwide on just about every platform out there, and you will be the star of today's show.
I appreciate it. I'm looking it up right now. Is it Digicom with two M's?
Yeah, D-I-G-I-C-O-M-M-C-A-F-E.
And I don't know, but I think we're probably one of the only live podcasts that people can actually jump in on and participate in and tell their story. And Telegram is what offers us this capability. I just love this. How long have you been on Telegram?
I think I got it in about maybe 2014 or 2015.
So there's no age limit to this one. I know some, I don't know if Zello, does Zello have an age limit?
No, because my 8-year-old brother has a Zello.
And you're a fan of Zello too, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I love Zello. I've got my GMRS stuff over there. Got a bunch of GMRS friends that use it. So
you'll have to share your link in the chat here too, so we can maybe pop in and interrupt the youthful conversations with some old folks conversations.
So is it ancor.fm? Is it M or N?
Oh, here, I'll put the link in. Well, you see the link up above in my podcast links where you see the big emblem, Amateur Radio Digicom Cafe. Click on that link at the top of that. That takes you to the most recent episode. And if you want to follow it on a different platform, like I'm a big fan of Overcast, which is kind of an iPhone-centric thing, if you're an iPhone guy, that's a neat platform. But click on one of those little links to take it to your favorite platform. In fact, I can do it on my Echo Dot. You can have Stitcher play Digicom Cafe, a ham radio buffet. Listen there, too.
Yeah, I got you. I'm going to pull this up on my laptop. I did watch one of your episodes where you interviewed Ed.
Oh, yeah. That was the one video podcast I've ever done. And I hope we can get Ed to join us from time to time to fill us in on what's going on with the yacht group. I think he's doing a great work there.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we get him over here. And have you ever interviewed anybody from the yacht?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of them. If you go look at our past episodes, we've got, well, I think next week will be over 300 episodes. Now, you say you've listened to some of my satellite podcasts, right? Satellite episodes?
I'm not sure about the satellite.
Oh, okay.
Does that
work? Well, anyway, you'll be in it now. And I like this format where others in the audience can ask questions too, so I like the more interactive, informal, sit around the table in the cafe. And this one will be up live here within the hour. So you can listen and share it with your family and friends and bring more folks over here.
Who else from a yacht have you interviewed?
Katie. And I think her teacher, who was instrumental in working with the Ham Radio Club she's a part of. Timothy's been on it. The family, no, the family with the two boys that won
Pearson.
Won that 78-10.
They live about 30 minutes from me.
Yep, good family, good family. In fact, we met them. We were there at the Huntsville Ham Fest. I was doing some interviews and stuff there throughout the Ham Fest, interviewed them after they won. And in fact, I think I've had them on twice, so. Yeah, we've had a lot of well-known people and a lot of just normal folks that love the hobby. I think Daniel was jumping in there. Go ahead, Dan. You have a question or comment?
So, did you put it over to me there, Danny?
Yeah, I thought I heard you there for a second. Like maybe you wanted to ask a question or say something.
Danny. Oh, yes, no. I just wanted to confirm, Logan. You said you've got a Belfast and UV5R. Is that correct?
Baofeng, I have for my Echolink node.
Hey, Danny.
Okay, because I've also got one as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Danny?
Go ahead, Bob. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just have to say this. It's entered in my mind here. I'm thinking of Noah in the Bible, and he was living for the moment every day. God told him to build the ark.
Yep.
But, you know, every moment that he was building, it had a, you know, consequence for the future. I mean, he maybe didn't even really realize what was going to happen, but following God's orders, he was building the ark, which, you know, we know the story, eventually saved him and his family from the destruction of the earth, you know. Yep. So that was an example of living for the moment. I think each one of us can do that same thing, you know. Just had to throw that in there.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, that applies to our hobby. You know, we can enjoy the hobby to its fullest, gain experience and knowledge, and at the same time, that prepares us to help others in an emergency situation, like we talked about at our club meeting here this last week. It's fun to prepare. Let's put it that way. It's fun to live in the moment, and it's wise to live wisely, thinking about its impact on the future. That's a good question, though, Jim. Thank you very much. And we're out of time. It's over an hour now. This has been a wonderful session. Thank you so much, Logan, for the honor of your presence. And we look forward to you joining us when you can as the youth co-host here in our Cafe Cast.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
We'll do this again tomorrow morning and every morning. So, guys, Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for your input. Jim, thanks for your assistance here and for the question of the day. And we are going to go on and live in the moment today, hopefully making a difference for tomorrow, too. He's silent. I can't believe it.
Oh, I couldn't add anything more to what you just said. So 7-3 to everyone, and let's do live in the moment.
Yep. So James, Linda, happy anniversary. Daniel, have a blessed afternoon there. Your day's running out. We're just getting started. Bob, thanks for joining us. And Logan, God bless you, man. Thanks for joining us. And I look forward to our future together.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks for having me. And I look forward to more of these.
Wonderful. 7-3, guys. That's it. Okay, we'll stop recording. This will be live. Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used Hamtest Online. Did you know that Hamtest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com. Hello, Cafeers. Denny J here in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas, out in the country, 25 miles from any large city. Out here in the country, we struggle to get good internet. Maybe you have the same problem. If you live in a rural area, you don't have many options. It's either satellite or DSL or cellular. And believe me, we've tried them all. Just recently, I was more than happy to pay the penalty to get out of our satellite service. Latency was horrible, and for amateur radio communications, the delays were up to 5 seconds, and you probably experienced what that's like. Our DSL service was also very unreliable. We rarely got the speeds that we were promised, and it kept dropping out. But now I think I found a service that we're going to love. It's called Visible.com. It's a company that's owned by Verizon and kind of a pared-back service, but works beautifully for my situation here out in the country on 15 acres. Visible.com offers only one plan. It's unlimited everything. Unlimited calls, text, and internet at slightly slower speeds than their top drawer plan at Verizon. But it does use the Verizon network. Go to Visible.com and use my referral code 3NOVEMBER37NOVEMBERTANGO. Also, to get your $40 a month bill reduced to $25, you need to be part of a party pay group. You can join me in our Digicom Cafe party. You will find the link to these things down in the show notes here.
along with links to our Digicom Cafe community portal, which is a Facebook alternative. Also our Telegram community, where we have text and voice chat, and also our live cafe cast here in the Digicom Cafe. So get your line at visible.com. And again, use my referral code and join our party to get that bill down to $25 a month.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Networks amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.